I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the use of our time. What if you had a bank that every night at midnight it credited your account with $86,400? You couldn't carry it over to the next day. You had it for those 24 hours. You had to use it that day or you lost it. And you were told it, it was there for you. $86,400. What would you do? You'd draw it out, wouldn't you? Wouldn't carry it over. It's going to be gone if you don't use it. Well, every day of our life, we have such a bank. And it's called time. Every day, all of us have 86,400 seconds to use. But how are we using this bank of time? Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in things that we enjoy doing. And we've often heard it said that how time flies when you're having fun. And it does when it seems that way. But do you realize the only thing that you do that will last forever is what you do for others? Let me say that again. The only thing that you do that will last forever is what you do for others. In Matthew 25, as the judgment is described here by our Lord, he talks about things that people did do in this life, and he says, I was 100 and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. And so what he's talking about here is how that people use their time. But have you ever said, I don't have time? Probably we all have said that. And we feel like sometimes that there needs to be two of us, don't we? Because there is seems like so many things to do. But how are we using our time? There's one poem that says this, the clock of life is round but once, and no man has the power to tell us when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore the clock of life. And it's truly round but once. I remember what Kathy said one day. She's talking about Wayne. She said, I thought about the scripture that says, it is appointed on the man. And that was Wayne's appointment. And I thought so much about that since she told me that. But someday, your appointment will come, my appointment will come. And how I've used my time on this earth is going to make all the difference in where I spend eternity. And don't you agree that we all have time to do things we think are important? And we'll certainly take time to die, won't we? In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 14, Paul says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now you might notice what he says to start with, awake thou that sleepest. Now how many times have we just slept in? We knew we had things we needed to do, but we just didn't get up and just didn't do those things that we need to be doing, and so we just laid in bed. But he says here, awake. And see that you walk circumspectly, And what that means is that you choose, make your choices in life wisely. You walk carefully. Take great care how you live. Do we ever think about that though? That what we're doing right now, we need to take great care in doing this. Well, how would you measure up today? Was this day spent wisely? Do you feel like that you accomplished something today? You ever have one of those days when you just look back on it and you say, well, I just wasted my day. I know there's been sometimes I would start on a job to do something, say some kind of mechanical job, and I would ring off a bolt or something. And I think I'm worse off than when I started. Because now I've got to try to get this bolt out of here. And I feel like I'm just wasting my time, and I've got to try to undo what I've done. I guess we've done things like that. And how many times do we really think about choosing our time wisely? Have we ever fed the poor? Have we ever fed those that are hungry? Have we ever clothed those that are naked? On your account that God keeps a record in heaven, what would you say on your account? You know, we sing these beautiful songs about how much we love the Lord. But Jesus says in Matthew, if you do it to these, you do it to me. The least of these, you do it to me. How many of us are using our time wisely? He tells us in Colossians 4 and 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming due time. Some of my people that are outside the Lord's church, he says, you use your wisdom around those people. You redeem your time. You choose your time wisely around people like that because they're lost. Because we are to be the light of the world. Excuse me? I never thought about myself being the light of the world. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Do we really take our role seriously in life of what we are? Or do we just kind of go through the day just in any other kind of fashion? And we do not redeem the time. We do not use the time wisely. In Galatians 6 chapter, Galatians 6 beginning at verse 7, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Then let's look at this carefully. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now let's read it again. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That someday you and I will reap exactly what we have sown. We might throw our wild oats and we want a crop for you, but it's not going to work that way. He that soweth to his flesh shall, not might or could, he says shall, of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary, in verse 9, in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now, what's the one thing in life that's going to last forever? What you do for others. Now, I'm not sure I've got these right, Bill Billy, but it's something I got from you one time. But you may just have three. I may have added another one. But anyway, I thought this was so good, I wrote it down. And this is what they are. Is what I'm doing going to make a difference in eternity? Now, that's a thought-provoking question. It's what I'm doing, it's whatever this job you do, is it going to make a difference in eternity? Number two, will it last? Number three, and I really like this one, And this one I know came from you. How many people will it help? And that's the reason. You know, you got to think into your mind, whatever you're doing, whatever it is you're thinking about, how many people, if I'm willing to give my time to this, will it help? It causes some deep thought, doesn't it? And you know, you really may have to come up with what? One. And you know that one is helping? You. Of me. That's right. What I'm doing is not helping anyone but me. This is selfish reason why I'm doing this. And number four, is it worth my time? Have you ever just been doing something that this is not worth it? This is not worth my time. I am honestly wasting my time. I'm just throwing away my time on nothing. This is worth, this ain't worth, as my dad used to say, a hill of beans. Y'all may have heard that before. Not worth my time. How did Christ use his time? You know, he said, after he washed the disciples' feet, he says, I have given you an example in John 13:15. So let us look at some examples that he left us. When he was 12 years of age, he got, well, I shouldn't say lost. He just got separated from his parents. Remember that? And you can understand why they would be worried about him. But he said to them when they did come, when they did find him, he said, how is it that you sought me? Know you not that I... And he used the word, but be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Have you ever felt a need to do something? Something's got to be done right here, right now. You just can't wait on this. Years ago, Brandon, he's had trouble with asthma. He's in a hospital. We was visiting him. And he's IV. And so, of course, being a nurse, we was in the room with him. And somehow, all of this thing just pulled loose in his blood. I mean, he's bleeding. And the nurse is not there. And it means the blood is just from this needle, you know, and the tube is loose. And the blood is just coming out. I mean, you know, there's something that must be done. You realize that. You know, you can't continue like that. It must be done. It's an urgent situation. You just can't let him bleed to death. And you've seen things like that. You've got to take action. You've got to do something. And Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business in Luke 2:49. He also said in John 5:17, my Father worketh here too, and I work. He also said in John 9:4, I must work the work of him that sent me while he is today. The night cometh, then no man can work, and he's come up when our life is over. He also said, when he was talking about food upon one occasion, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work in John 4:34. Jesus fully realized the magnitude, let me stress this to you now, Jesus fully realized the magnitude of his task upon this earth. Now do you realize, do we realize the magnitude of our task? What a job there is to be done, and who's going to do it if we don't do it? Maybe not asking you. He realized. We just read to you what Paul says, be not weary, the way I'm doing. In fact, he said it twice in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. He said, be not weary, the way I'm doing. I'm asking you to do something. Look for opportunities to serve the Lord in properly using your time. Look for ways to use your time wisely. We'll make sure of the time. In Acts 17:21, it said all the Athenians and strangers which were in there spent their time in nothing else, listen to this, but it will tell or to hear some new thing. Can you relate to that? Sit around and talk. You know what you do? You know what you do? You get on the telephone, don't you? And you want to hear, or you want to tell some new thing. And you say, that's what the Athenians did. The strangers were in there. They spent their time in nothing else but that. Time moves on. We talk about saving time, you don't save time, do you? You can't save time. You can use your time wisely, but you cannot save time. A man by the name of John Foster said this, time is the greatest of all pirates. As we go on toward age, he taxes our health, he taxes our limits, our limbs, our facilities, our strength, and our features. And he does, doesn't he? Time changes things. I went back to my class reunion here, 3-4 years ago. There's this girl there, and I hadn't seen her since we graduated, I guess, in 57. And I asked somebody who was that, and they told me who she was. In fact, I used to go out with a girl. So I started staring at her on the side, looking at her, trying to bring back her face. I'm trying to bring it back. 1957, you know. Bring back her face. And I can't bring it back with her. So I walk up to her, I cover my badge. And I say, hi. I call her by name. So you know me? No. Give me a hint. See, she doesn't know me. I don't know her. And then I'm standing there looking at her, you know, trying to bring back how she did look back in high school. Time changes people's features. They don't look like they once did. And that's just the way life is, isn't it? The Bible says in Psalms 9:12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Job 14:14. Let me read this up in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11:7-8. Now, I don't remember ever reading this in the Bible until just the other day. I don't remember ever reading this before. I asked Peter, I said, you remember reading this? She said, don't believe I have. Look at Ecclesiastes 11:7-8. The psalmist says, true to the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold his son. He's talking about living. He's talking about seeing the sun is pleasant. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, now he said, if you live a long time and have good health all your days, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. I used to work for a man who used to say, when you're dead, you're dead for a long time. I don't know how many times I've heard him say that. Solomon says here that true delight is sweet. Pleasant thing to see the sun, but if you live for many years, yet remember that you're going to die. And those days shall be many. You know, I remember when I got to be 21, and Sue lost her dad when she was 3 years old, her stepdad. We were there that night. And he told me, he said, your years are going to pass, I've got his words, faster and more swiftly by since you've got 21. And that is so true. And those of you that are 7 years over 21, you know how it passes by. And you look back, and I remember what Brother Jim Pritchard said at Wee Diary one time. He said, you turn around twice, you're an old man. And I can relate to that. Time marches on. Time works for no man. The thing time is what eternity is made of. Time. The use of our time. How many things did we do that we could say we used our time wisely? In Romans 13, Romans 13, beginning at verse 7, if you have a calendar there. Paul says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be another commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or wild partying, in drunkenness, not in chambering, which is sexual immorality, in wantonness, which is excessive indulgence in the pleasures of senses. That could be excessive eating or drinking. It leads away from our duty, you know. Not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What did he say in verse 14? Make not provisions for the flesh. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know the Bible says that? We want to make another nickel, don't we? That's what I'm saying. We buy things we don't need, the money we don't have to impress people we don't like. What all the time is about, that's how we spend our time. What does time mean to you? You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, for everything is a season. And a time to wear the purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck at that which is planted. What does time mean to you? There's a purpose, there's a time. Judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Look at what he says also in Ecclesiastes 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. You don't have power to retain the spirit in the day of death. You know, friends, when we lost Brian, some of you have lost people so close to you. I remember this feeling that was the first time in my life here was something I could do nothing about. I don't remember ever having that feeling before. And I was 41 years old. I could cry, I could beg, I could pray, I could not change if I was dead. What it did to me, I think some of you could say the same thing. It made me realize the value of life. It made me realize the dependency upon God. That's my only hope. Isn't God? That's all we've got is God. The time you spend with your children is so important. And the quality of that time. The time you spend doing things for others, there's things that will last, like I said, forever. Like a little boy said, my daddy loves me. Somebody says, how do you know he loves you? And he's a little boy says, he spends time with me. The child asked his daddy, he came to the door, he says, daddy, as his dad went to get his golf club, he says, daddy, are you coming or are you going? Time. Job says, when a few years are come and I shall go the way which I shall not return. The psalmist said, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And what that in fear means, those that reverently worship Him. And His righteousness unto children's children. For such as keep His covenant and do those that were under His commandments to do them. James says, for if you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. So our life is described by James as a vapor. James is a vapor. Described by the psalmist David as a flower. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, but I say, brethren, the time is short, it remaineth that the fashion, that they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. And I tell you, somebody's style of the day, fashion of the day, I'll be glad when it passes away. Won't you? It will pass away. The fashion of this earth, this world will pass away. But our challenge is to use time properly and not abuse time. But how many of us can say we're using our time wisely? And all things we always think there's going to be another day. Don't we? Because I've had these in the bank of my time for years and years now. 86,400 seconds a day. I've had them and I've used them. And you've had them and you've used them. Because you've had more than me, some less. But how many of that have I wasted? Use time wisely. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore soon we're compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Have you ever wondered about that verse of Scripture? You read it probably many times. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So we get, what? Two things here. We do not agree? So here's a weight and here's something that's not. It's a sin. What do you mean by that? If some things, if what the writer of the Hebrew said, if some things not a sin, that are weight, is that what you get from that? That's what I get from that. Now, if some things I don't have time for. It's just the facts of life. I only have so many circuits today. You don't have so many circuits today, and you say, well, you know, this is something I would like to do. But I'm telling you, there's not enough hours in the day. What did he say? Is that what you get next? Let us lay aside every weight. And we don't say we've got to lay it aside. We understand that. There's some things that are weights. I think we can relate back to what he said in Ephesians. A weight down that's sleeping. It would be good to sleep in sometime, wouldn't it? To lay around. But have you got time for it? Is that a way? It would be good to talk on the telephone for 4 hours a day, wouldn't it? Have you got time for that? You know, the Bible, in fact, says it's better to be quiet. Don't you know that Danny had to come up today with what he said? The point he said about buying time. Y'all hear that? I never heard that before. He said, what if in the morning when you got up, you couldn't say a word? You go down here, and buying words. And you go out of town, the word shop, whatever it says, and buy your words. You got to pay for them. That's what that used. Plus, it's so good. He said, you'd be very careful how you use your words, wouldn't you? You start paying $1 a word, a nickel a word. How would you use your words? And every day, you got to go buy words. We might be very careful, very cautious how we use our words. Have you thought about your time? It's given you by God. You're the steward of your time. God lays it in your hand. He puts it in your hand. You use your time if you feel like it's important to use your time. But you can be assured, and I can be assured, that someday I will give an account of how I use my time. You might remember in Matthew 12, he says some of the scariest words in the Bible to me. I tell you, every odd word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of the day of judgment. Remember that? Think of verse 37, 36, 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. There's so many times that I think about telling something. And if I stop and think about it a little bit, I say, nah, don't tell that. That was brought home to me years ago by my wife, by Sue. See my wife like you don't know her. But we went over to these friends' house one night. It's just a company get together. A bunch of us that work together, wives, and we were there for a sit down meal. And this one guy and his wife wasn't there, and so he got talked about. And guess what I did? I did too. I talked about him. What he did to me one time. And even so says, she get in the car, you know, and she says to me, it's silent. She says, why'd you do what you did? I know exactly what she's talking about. I said, I don't know. That was so sad. And you know what she said? She didn't confirm, she said, yes, it was. I needed that. Because there's no reason, no matter how much he's disliked, the kind of person is, there's no reason you didn't hit him one bit, will I? I agree. Was I using my words wisely? Was I using my time wisely? I think it would have been far better off if I had never said a word. Would you agree? How many times do we not use our time wisely? And we think, you know, and yet we might be having this is the greatest time of our life. And we're going to look back later and say, this is the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. How I spent my time. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember. And the days shall come when I shall say I have no pleasure in thee. And I look back over my life, look back over my youth, and I think, things I did then, I have no pleasure now. Don't know how I ever could have. Don't know how I ever could. Life is kind of that way, isn't it? So tonight I'm talking about the use of your time. Brother to brother, okay? I'm saying it to myself too. How am I using my time? Read this thing one more time, Billy. You might get a Christmas sermon instead of me. Number one, is what I'm doing going to make a difference in eternity? My friends, that may, you better think about that. That may go either way. You know what I mean? You could be lost, or you can be saved. We just remember Matthew 25. Judgment day, I was hungry, thirsty, sick. Number two, will it last? Some things just not going to last. Number three, how many people will this help? Well, you know the truth of the matter about that? Sometimes it don't even help this one. I might think it does. I might feel like it does, but it's not helping me. It's hurting me if I'm selfish. The only thing that's going to last forever. It's what we do for what? Myself, what we do for others. We just read that to you. What's going to last out? How many people have helped? And then number four, is it worth my time? And I looked at things, and perhaps you have to, and I think, you know, I may enjoy this, but it's not worth my time. Time. It's what eternity is made of. As we've done tonight and sing an invitational song, it's a time that we set aside The time we hopefully examine ourselves and ask ourselves where we stand with our Lord. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you can come tonight to be baptized. Believing on Him, confessing publicly your belief in Him by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repenting of your sins. And then, how many times in life have we thought about doing that? Oh, I'm one of these people, I get charged up. You know? I get charged up and I say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And for a time, I will. But then I begin to feel slack on it. And then I get feeling bad because I don't keep it up. And that's exactly what Satan wants me to do, is feel down, because the more down I can be and the better I am, and then control my life, that's the same way with you. You know, the simple thing is, friends, is we got to make ourselves do what's right. We have. We got to do it. We got what self-discipline. And the beautiful part of it is you can change. I can change. Can't we change? We can do better. And we can use our time wisely. And that's what repentance is. It's don't serve the flesh. Remember what we read to you tonight? About sowing and reaping? What did he say? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. He says, don't kid yourself. You're not deceiving God. You're not mocking God. He says, what you're sowing, you're going to someday, it's coming up. It's reaping. It's come someday. You're going to have to cultivate it. We must change. We must change if we're not serving the Lord. And you can be baptized tonight for the forgiveness and remission of your past sins. If you are a member, perhaps you are not living, you should. Why don't you come back tonight, confess your fault, ask for forgiveness, ask for prayer. Have you ever in your whole born day Sunday? How many years have you been a member of church? You have never gone to church? You have never gone before a brother and asked them to pray for you but and tell them you confess your fault? You've never done that? You think the Bible's not talking to you in the church and James confess your fault one day and pray one forever? You think He's not talking to you? You just try to run through that verse and say, no, it's not for me. You know what the problem is? What is the problem? It's that five-letter word, isn't it? P-R-I-D-E. How many people is going to send to hell? I have no idea. But you can rest assured, it's the one thing in the Bible that goes all the way through it. It is. It's honeycombed through the book. All the New Testament is all through that. Pride, pride, pride. Confess your faults one to the other. Pray one to the other. Take your first prayer of righteousness and obey it. Think of a Christian leader that wants to come to him. Every stand and every stand.
Just want to point out,